Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome. I have to sit up and just make sure you know how excited I am. Welcome to another edition of Leadership Lean In. We are leaning in to the subject of leadership just to get a little bit better. Thank you to all the leaners out there. I was just preaching in Atlanta, Georgia,
in ATL,
at the Great Passion City Church for Pastor Louis Giglio, and somebody tagged me, leaners are in the house, and that meant the world to me. We got leaners all over the country, all over the world, leaning into leadership. You are going to love today's pod. I like saying that, pod. Love today's episode. I have one of my good friends who heralds from the great state of Washington, former Coug, great athlete. How many guys do you know played baseball and football in college? But he's a great athlete. To be honest, he's a great friend of mine and has stepped into becoming, I'm going to call you like a leadership guru, like a...
I like that.
I think that
I'll
you're...
take it.
I think that you're on this crazy John Gordon, Patrick Lencioni. I'm just thinking of the greats that when it comes to leadership, mastering your mindset, you're on that trajectory. Mm-hmm. Authored, putting out two books this next month. He's authored now six books and speaks at companies all over the world. Zillow, Nike, Lululemon, Google, you name it. And he is now here on Leadership Lean In. Put your hands together. Even if you're on your run, put your hands together. Mm-hmm. Colin Henderson is in the house.
What's up, audience?
Leaners. Say what's up, leaners.
Leaners. Hey, I'm so pumped to be here. So grateful. Chad, I love you, man. You're a brother to me.
Love you, man.
You are my pastor.
Oh, thank you.
So you and Julia are just dear friends, man. So this is awesome.
Best. We've been friends for almost, would you say 10 years? Close?
Yeah, around there.
2000. I meet you 2010, 11?
Yeah, around that. Like 2009, 10,
before
11,
we
something
had
like
kids.
That. Before we had kids. We were married, though, before we had kids.
Right. You guys were married, and we just started hanging out. And really, we stayed in contact. That's the cool thing is that we stayed close.
Yeah, well, it's this phrasing, game recognized game.
That's right.
Your vibe attracts your tribe. Like attracts like.
Ooh, ooh.
So it's like, this dude's got some swag. he can hoop a little bit, which helps.
We used to hoop.
And then you're just a great pastor, man. You are speaking to my heart, you know?
You,
and you changed me as a Christian, as a believer, as
thank
a husband,
you,
so... For that, I was like, I want to be around this guy. And then we started, I remember meeting you at Starbucks at 6 a.m. up on South Hill, meeting high school kids at 6 a.m., just
crazy.
Pouring into them.
That's right.
Yeah.
We did that for years. And I remember C. Mark coming through.
Charlie Martin.
You bring in Charlie,
what's up, Charlie?
Martin, who we love so much. And just our wives are close. Now we get to go to Palm Springs and hang out. And just, it's a beautiful thing to watch. You guys are inspirations to us because of the way that you guys have a diligent work ethic and you think really big. There's a lot of confidence that oozes out of your life, a lot of security. And I like being around anyone that always has a thought that makes me think about it for like another 3 months. So like when you gave me the drama, mama, trauma, daddy and mama, I go, whoa. I just think about that stuff. You have so many bars and so many handles, but one of the things I'm really loving when I listen to you is master your mindset. I want to talk about that today because I feel like you've got so many great handles. I love your thought on when it comes to mastering your mindset, we don't even know what to do.
That's it.
We don't even know where to start. Talk to me about, talk to the leaners. Where do we start when we want to start having a better, not mental health, but a better mindset?
But yeah, it's true. So mindset training is what the word prehab.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be sick to get better. It's proactively working on yourself. So I think in this like mental well-being space, really it's usually you go to a therapist, counselor when there's something wrong, which is great. We need that. We need therapy. And it's pretty cool because in certain parts of the country, like LA, New York, everyone brags about how awesome their therapist is.
Right.
Where other parts of the country, they don't even talk about a therapist.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not a therapist. So I'm a mental performance coach. Mm. So in like the sports setting, in like big time business world, they have coaches that help with leadership, with stress, with calm and self-doubt, having your own philosophy. Mm. So that's what I do. So here's a few questions. Leaners, this is not a normal podcast.
This is not normal.
We're in the mind gym. Don't just exercise, intercise.
Love that.
So let's just think about this as a mental workout, Get your sweat on physically, but get your sweat on mentally. And how we improve our emotion, how we improve our mental strength is by leaning in and getting uncomfortable, asking the hard questions, writing them down, reflecting, and then sharing and building a plan. So just like you could train muscle groups, you can train different mental muscle groups like confidence, resilience, self-awareness, how to lead people, your own philosophy, process over outcome, courage, how to manage fear.
Jeez.
So let's just pinpoint an area. So mindset, as I taught the staff yesterday, is a conditioned set of beliefs that drive behaviors.
Gosh, I love that.
Conditioning. We're being conditioned all the time, what we see, hear, and experience. And unfortunately, because the brain has this bias for being negative, our conditioning, our self-image, our mindset is shaped by not positive things, but negative things. Negativity is like Velcro. Your brain's going to hold on to it. Positivity, it's like Teflon.
Wow.
You work with your manager, you get 9 compliments, 1 negative, you just dwell over that 1 negative comment, but wait, she gave you 9 good ones.
Right.
You know? So it's this, it's more shaped by what you mentioned, trauma, drama, daddy and mama, how we've been conditioned in our childhood and through our environment. So leaners, here's 3 simple questions we can do as a mindset baseline. Mindset baseline. So question number 1, scale from 1 to 10, how much time are you spending proactively working on your mental fitness? 1 to 10.
Jeez.
Colin, what is that to be mentally fit? Because sometimes people say, well, I do mindfulness. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's one of 20 things you could be doing.
Wow.
Or I read books. Yes. I love personal growth. That's one of 20, 50 things.
Right.
So it's, I think the problem is if you've never exercised before and you go to a gym, I don't know what workout, I don't know what lifts, what weights to do. So getting someone like myself or getting, you know, a mentor, someone who's had success to kind of give you systems and structure. We both love James Clear.
Love James Clear.
And help me finish this sentence. We don't rise to our goals.
Fall to the level of our system.
We fall to our systems. So we want to front load our thinking, want to front load our thought life, want to front load and design a mental well-being game plan to be proactive prehab.
I love
that. So number 1 is like, what are you doing for your mind?
Yep.
You know, so self-talk, mindfulness, how to visualize, how to goal set, process over outcome, self-image management, gratitude and service, you know, changing perspective. But there's certain drills. So anytime I work with a client, athlete, pro athlete, even, you know, these like some youth groups I work with, I give them drills.
That's so good.
Mental emotional drills to train. So first question is, we don't have time to cover all those, but let's just give a baseline. How much time are you spending in your mental emotional health proactively, not reactively?
Prehab.
Number 2 is one of my favorite questions to ask any performer as a baseline assessment that we can work and grow on is, where's your focus? If you can add up to 100% in these 3 categories, past, present, future.
Jeez.
Where is your focus most of the time?
Wow.
Are you reliving? Are you pre-living? Or are you now? And when I'm doing workshops, I say, hey, where are you? Right here.
Right here.
Yeah, but are you training here? Do you even notice where your mind is going? Do you notice that you're dwelling on that past mistake?
You know, when you said that yesterday, I thought to myself, I spend a lot of my evenings, a lot of my times with my kids somewhere else. That really resonated with me because I thought, a lot of times I'm in my head. You know that saying, like, he's in his head right now.
When you're in your head, you're dead.
Man, and I'm thinking about so many other things. And I don't know if they're all good things. I don't know if they're all, you know, I'm dwelling on negative stuff. I'm dwelling on things that are like, I can't control, things that have transpired, a comment, you know, someone that, you know, we're dealing with a situation. I need to be more present. What do I need to do to be more present?
I think just noticing the word mindfulness, mindful is to pay attention. So just to be aware.
Yep.
But I think it's having a baseline understanding that the brain is designed to survive, not thrive.
Wow.
It's designed to survey the environment, look for threats, dangers, challenges. It's designed for you to be safe, but we're not being chased, Chad, anymore by lions and tigers. So we've manifested, you know, this fear of our social safety, you know, with our health physically, to these social threats that your body has the same triggers and reaction, this visceral response to social threats as physical threats. Your body can't tell the difference.
Wow.
Your brain can't tell the difference. So the body cannot tell the difference between a real and an imagined event.
Wow.
So fear, even though it's not real, when you wake up from a nightmare, it feels real.
Mm.
Elevated heart rate, palms are sweaty, you got butterflies sweating everywhere. Like,
right.
But there's no physical danger, but your mind can't tell the difference.
Wow.
So we're holding on to that past trauma. You're reliving those environments, having or being anxious about the future, even though you're not speaking in front of anybody until 3 days. You're imagining what it'd feel like, and your body has a visceral response.
It's crazy.
So I think just having, hey, listeners, leaners, just simple.
Mm.
Download the Headspace app. Download the Calm app.
Yep.
You can do mindfulness meditation, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and they're going to coach you through. But it's just practicing the mental skill of being present. Why is Tom Brady the GOAT? He's present when he competes. Mm. He's not worrying about the last play, the next play, like Steph Curry. It takes a professional to go 0 for 15 and keep shooting.
Because
the last play's done.
Keep shooting.
I trust my training.
Yep.
So when you're at home, like, hey, I'm going to be home. When I'm brushing my teeth, I'm brushing my teeth. Doing dishes, practice. Focus all your attention on doing dishes.
Mm.
Just train your mind. Now, it is good to sometimes reflect and to learn from...
In the right setting.
Yeah, but have some structure. So I teach a system called Good, Better, Next. Mm. What's something you did good this past week? Something you can do better? And what are you going to do next to keep improving? Great. But I think just noticing and knowing that 80% of human thoughts are negative and 95% of thoughts are reoccurring.
Jeez.
So just knowing that... And recognize what we call ants, automatic negative thoughts. But just the recognition is the first place to start.
Yep.
Because if you don't notice, if you're not aware, you're going to be just creating this cycle where, you know, the brain thinks in four dimensions: words, pictures, emotions, and then beliefs. And your beliefs run your life. So if you're not noticing this negative self-talk pattern, if you're not noticing
the words,
this trauma, drama, daddy and mama, if you're not aware of that, people always like, man, Or it's like in sports, like we're ahead in the fourth quarter, we always lose in the fourth quarter. Or I can't keep my body fit the way I want it to be. Or I keep dating and these partnerships, people, like I keep, it's not working out. Because there's maybe some language issues with how you see yourself, how you see your environment. Mm. It's just this cascade effect.
Mm.
So if we can stay present, grounded in the here and now and noticing, and the art of mindfulness is just this practice of being self-aware without judgment.
Yeah. I like that.
Without judgment. So being present and aware without, but not judging. So that thought was interesting. I'm going to come back to the present moment and just, and keep this. Every time you come back to the present, it's like doing bicep curls for your brain. So question one is, how much time are you spending? And then I would ask them, well, what are you doing? What, you're reading your Bible. Maybe you're journaling, reading books, but what else? People just don't know.
Yep.
So we're going to add to that. And then we're going to do a baseline. Where's your focus at?
Mm.
And like the old me before I did this life-changing work was, I was probably 45% in the past. Like I used to like relive, like I go back in time, how would I change that? And just analyze and like, you know, just so hard on myself. And like probably 50% future, you know, like what if I play that game? What if? What if I drop of the past? What if I stutter in front of people? I had to go through some of that. What if I, you know, strike out? What if I don't get this sales call? What if I?
Wow.
Just which you can't control.
Tough place to
you
live.
Can't control the future or the past. You can't control the present moment. I was like 5% present, and that's exhausting.
Man,
it's so exhausting. The human brain burns about 300 to 600 calories per day just living. Have you ever done like something where you didn't move your body? But you were learning something. You were going through some training and you're onboarding it. I'm so exhausted.
Right.
You didn't move physically.
Yeah.
But your body and your brain is processing, working. And if we're stressed, anxious, we're burning over 1,000 calories
Jeez.
A day.
Jeez.
So
talk to me about the TBT. I love that whole thing that you had. Thoughts become things.
Yes. Perfect segue to number three.
Yeah.
Question number three is, how is your self-talk? Why aren't we teaching our kids about self-talk? Why aren't we teaching leaners?
Mm.
Why aren't we teaching our people that we work with the power of language?
Mm.
Like attracts like. Energy flows where focus goes. What you resist persists.
Mm.
So if you're focusing on fear, thinking about fear, self-talk, I can't. It's too hard. It's never been done before. You're creating a subconscious belief, a neural pathway that your subconscious, your body, your life, you're going to manifest and attract more of those negative things.
Wow.
So if we can shift our self-talk to more productive, rooted in truth, like I've had success before.
Yeah.
I am training. I'm prepared. Why not me?
Yeah.
And pinpoint, I feel so bad. One of your people, I was like, I brought her up. I was like, tell me what you want the most. People can't answer that question.
Most people can't.
So this is from Zig Ziglar. Mm. Don't be a wandering generality. Be a meaningful specific.
Whew.
So
I love that.
Are you courageous enough to declare what you want?
Yep.
And say, and even though it's crazy, you know, hey, I remember Colin, you know, this was, we were in our house in 2014. We're going to LA. We're gonna build a church. It's called Zoe. This is our vision. I was like, let's go. Dream big, serve bigger.
Mm, that's it.
Dream big, serve bigger.
That's it. I believe
in it. You know what I'm saying?
I believe
in it. So if I were to ask you listeners, you know, who is your best friend? Would you still be best friends with them if they talk to you the same way that you talk to yourself?
Right.
What you say to yourself has 10 times the power versus what other people say to you.
I believe it. You know,
so when you say TBT,
right.
Thoughts become things. Everything happens twice. First in our mind, then in real life.
Jeez.
Fear and faith have a lot in common. Wow. Fear and faith have a lot in common. Which one do you focus on?
Yep.
Do you focus on faith? Trust? We talked about trust in that fourth quadrant.
Right.
I don't have it now. Just I don't have it yet.
Mm.
But in this long phase of life, it's mine.
A trust.
Just hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Like your church, when that idea was planted in your mind, you know, this great congregation, this amazing, look at this building we're in, this amazing, this lighting of great staff.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have it at that time.
Right.
But you did have it.
Yep.
Because you saw it and you believed
in it.
But you had the patience to do whatever it takes.
And to serve.
To get it. Dream big.
Yep.
Serve bigger.
It's great. You asked that question yesterday, that girl, she didn't have the answer, which I think most people wouldn't, and I thought to myself, what would be my answer? Mm-hmm. And this morning we came to prayer. We do prayer on Wednesday mornings at 7. There's a whole bunch of people that come here. And I thought to myself about that question this morning. Mm-hmm. And I said, if Colin asked you the question, what do you want? What is your answer? Mm-hmm. What do you want? There are some things I can answer in the immediate, but I thought about the long term. Mm-hmm. And the long term was, I want to be greatly used by God.
Mm.
Now, someone like Gary Vee would have the language. I'm listening to his book right now. Yeah. He would say legacy. Like Gary Vee said, I want to be so legendary that my name is a national holiday, that they have to shut down the nation because he made such an impact.
Yeah.
That this guy was so impactful that his name, think about that. That's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now mine is the same, but in a spiritual manner.
Yeah.
To be greatly used by God. Mm-hmm. That is what I want.
Yes. Yes. Well, here's a simple drill. I'm your mindset coach.
Yeah.
So I'm not just going to give you theory.
Right.
I'm not just going to, you know, tell you a story and just let you just figure it out on your
figure
own.
Figure it out, right.
I'm going to give you a system.
Mm.
So leaners, if you don't know your MVPs, you are not a leaner. You're not a leader.
Mm.
So to be an MVP leader, to create an MVP marriage, an MVP organization, you need to know your MVPs.
Mm.
Clarity is power.
Mm.
The best focus on less, not more. Let's eliminate stinking thinking. Let's get shrinking thinking.
Ooh.
Right?
I love all this stuff.
So MVPs, M is mission.
Great.
So Rob drove me up to golf at Sherwood, amazing course. What's up, Charlie, Ryan, Chris? We had a great time yesterday. But I was asking some questions about leadership.
Mm.
And you don't need a title to be a leader. You don't need like some big corner office. Lead yourself first before you lead anybody else.
Yep.
So M is mission.
Mm.
Are you mission driven?
Great.
When you wake up in the morning, are you a gazelle or a lion? Because in the jungle, gazelles, they're running away, avoiding, delaying. Are you avoiding delaying?
Mm.
Are you a lioness? Lion? Attacking every day.
Great.
Doing things with purpose, on purpose. You have intent.
Yep.
Right? So the mission is not really the end result. A mission is, it's not the road to success, it's the success road.
Mm.
It's a daily intent, a vision.
Yep.
And you just said yours beautifully.
Yep.
Maybe tell listeners one more time, what's your vision, mission?
My whole goal is to be greatly used by God. And what I mean by that is God uses me to reach a lot of people, see a lot of people come to salvation, a lot of people find freedom, raise up a bunch of leaders, raise up churches, like to make a great impact on the earth. That is my mission of my life. That is the why behind everything I do.
But doesn't it simplify everything for you?
Everything.
If it doesn't fit that mission, I don't do it.
We're not doing it.
Guys, this is going to help you think about less.
Yep.
The best focus
Great.
On less.
Great.
Not more. But have you done the work?
Mm.
To think, analyze, who are my mentors? Who are my pastors? Mm. Who do I admire? Mm. Let's distill it. Success leaves clues. And ask myself, what do I want to be known for?
Mm.
What's on my gravestone? Mm. What's my legacy?
Mm.
When people think of Chad Veach, what do they think of?
Mm.
Well, guess what? Don't find yourself, create yourself.
Great.
Decide.
Yep.
Decide. Write it down.
I believe that.
And act like it. Then the V, we have the vision. Now we need some action, right? So V is values.
Yep.
So have you pinpointed behaviors to help Great. Fulfill that mission?
Mm.
And my mission of Master Mindset, my personal mission as a father, as a husband, as a mentor, as a friend, is to transform lives and normalize mindset training. 1A, 1B.
I love that.
So if I transform one, or 100 million, I'm good. I'm just going to wake up with the intent to transform a life in the glory of God.
Mm.
But I'm sneaky with it because I talk to corporations in school. So the best comment-
Sneaky with it.
The best comment someone would say is, dang, Colin, that was some fire. Are you a Christian? I can see the gospel spitting through the words. I was like, how'd you know? I'm sneaky with it. You know. So mission is to transform lives and to normalize mindset training. Mm. Values is to be a G.
I love this one.
I've just simplified this for everyone. I
love
for myself.
It. Be like a G.
I'm trying to be a G. Hey, listeners, are you a G?
Mm.
So G is putting God first at the foundation.
Love that.
An audience of one.
Mm.
So how do I do that? Gratitude, giving, and growing every single day.
Great.
That's how I measure success. That's how I measure. That's what I value. That's what's going to help me trust the process.
Mm.
That's the process. Mm. Put God first. Choose gratitude. Give, serve, help, love, and grow. That's why I'm not afraid to fail.
Mm.
Failure is beautiful. There's lessons in failure.
Yeah, and it's like, very common.
Like how many of us avoid speaking up, asking for that thing, taking that risk because like, how do I look? What's going to think about me? I was like, no, dude. Mm. The best entrepreneurs, dude, they are professional failures.
Yeah.
Do we just coin a new phrase?
Fail forward.
They are professional failures.
Yeah.
Like they're not defined by it. They learn, grow, and they attack.
Mm.
But also growing is, dude, I invest in my personal development.
Yep.
Going in the Bible, reading books, podcasts. Readers are leaders.
Mm.
Leaders are learners.
Earners.
Learners are earners.
I saw you say this today. I love that thought.
You got to.
Yep.
Like, so people go to school and college and they're done learning.
Mm.
The best leaders in the world are hungry for knowledge, thirsty for wisdom.
Can't get
mentors,
enough of it.
Mentors, mentorship, life-changing.
Mm.
Coaching, life-changing. Peer group, life-changing.
Mm.
Pouring into people, having mentees,
huge,
life-changing. But I think the problem in this space is people do self-help as a form of entertainment. Or they may watch you. We watch you every morning at 9 a.m. up in Seattle. But are you taking notes? Are you processing? Mm. Are you reflecting? Where's the application? And then talking about it in a small group.
Mm.
And then doing the work.
Mm.
So leaners, mission.
Yep.
Values.
Values.
P is purpose.
Ooh.
Why do you do what you do?
Mm.
The mission is the pull, but the purpose is the push.
I love that. That's great.
Right? So I want that thing, and that's my mission, but why do I want it? I want that thing because fill in the blank. Or I love these two prompts for your purpose. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, just follow your purpose. Just find your why, Simon Sinek. I love you, Simon Sinek, but it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Like, coach me up on how do I uncover my passion and my purpose? So Tom Bilyeu.
Yep.
We're going to check him out later.
You just told me about him.
From Tacoma.
Shout out to the 253.
Yeah, he says nature has blessed us with two motivators, pleasure and pain.
Jeez.
Most of us just use one of them. Why not use both?
Mm.
So sometimes your purpose is like what pisses you off, like what gets you frustrated.
Yeah.
Solve that problem, serve that need, serve that audience.
Mm.
Make your mess your message. Make your mess your mission and your purpose.
Mm.
So my purpose statement is. Through my descent and my rise, provide people with tools to be the best version of themselves. Tools, because I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with the lie of perfection. I struggle with worth tied to outcome, negative self-talk.
Now, hold on. Stop there, because I think that's very important for people to hear you say that. You have so many cheat codes, so many maxims, axioms, phrases, principles, values, and yet you can admit, hey, I got to put in the work.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I have a propensity to struggle. Me hearing you say that is encouraging, because I'm not perfect. And so if someone that has a wealth of knowledge and experience like yourself, you struggle, that just helps even the playing field. Talk to me about that.
Well, your purpose statement should be vulnerable.
Great.
Because I can't influence you unless I, number one, have a relationship. Number two, have established trust. Once that's established, it invites vulnerability. And when you have a culture that's vulnerable, open, So Google did some research. They found that the number one employee need is psychological safety.
Wow.
So if I can't be myself, if I can't ask questions, if I can't speak up, if I, this is not a safe place to challenge, to grow and fail, this is not a safe place. I'm not going to thrive.
Yep.
So my story is I used to stutter like pretty bad. Like my close unit knew it. I hid it so well.
You don't want anybody to know.
When you came over to our house the first time for dinner, I asked you to pray because I was, I can't pray out loud. You didn't know. I was a ninja about it.
Ninja.
But I had so many coping skills to avoid speaking in these formal environments, because in sixth grade, changed schools, had to read out loud, got stuck on a word. My internal activation robbed me from being able to execute what I could normally do. This is the case of the yips. Golfers shank, used to be able to hit, but something mentally, it's a mental block. Hitters, or, you know, play second base, you can't throw it to first, but you had for first 20 years of your life, something happened mentally, something you can't throw it to first base. So there's a yip. So I could speak, but like I had this fear of failure, this perfectionism that I would beat myself up, and what you you attract.
And that goes back to you at what age? Like when can you
11,
first?
12, 13, you know?
And it was a setting. It was a
setting, but so then watch this. I avoided and delayed and pushed aside speaking in public. What you don't use, you lose. And the longer you wait, you add weight.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
the longer you wait, you add weight.
It's
going to
get worse.
It's going to get worse.
And I avoided this for a long time, and I had pockets where I could deliver, but it was just up and down. I never really faced it. I never leaned into it. And let me tell you right now, on the topic of mental performance, mental health, whatever you want to call it, asking for help is a sign of strength.
Yes.
Asking for help.
Big sign of strength.
No one should worry or win alone. Asking for help is self-awareness.
Yeah.
It's confidence. It's not making it about you. I think the biggest lie that we have to overcome as a, especially in America, man, we think everyone's looking at us.
Right.
You think it's all about you. Everybody, you think people care about your mistake? No one's even thinking about you.
On your radar.
And you're magnifying it like times 20, and no one even noticed.
No one noticed.
But so I was the other way. I gave myself no grace. I would beat myself up, and I would relive. But when I was 26, 20, 20 27 years old, therapy, and then speech therapy, and then Toastmasters for 3 years, giving speeches every week. But I still struggled, you know, I still didn't figure it out. I told the story yesterday, like you asked me to do the offering messages and tithes. I'm like, nah, nope, don't think so, can't make that one work. But then I remember like 3 months happened, I was like, dude, I can't run away from this anymore. Like I've mastered speaking in Toastmasters, a safe group of like 12 people that, or 10 people that have seen me. So I'm comfortable there. I need to start stepping outside of my comfort zone. Growth and comfort zones cannot coexist.
Love that.
Just can't.
I love that.
So if you do what you fear the most, there's nothing you can't do. So I hit you, I was like, Chad, let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm going to do it.
I wasn't ready. So show up scared. That's good. But I practiced for like a week for those 2 or 3 minutes. Like I practiced. And then when I got up there, you know, I was nervous, but nerves are normal, man. If it's not nervous, there's nothing good on the other end. Those butterflies is life's best clue for something great's about to happen.
Give them the quote you ended with yesterday. This was fantastic.
Yeah, so we're still talking about purpose.
Yes.
So my purpose is from my pain, and that's my power. So
pain and pleasure.
Yeah, so I lean into the how painful I felt. Mm. And that gives me empathy. Mm. That gives me curiosity. That gives me relationship. That gives me patience. That gives me understanding. That gives me, I don't care if you're a CEO or if you're a sophomore in high school or if you're a janitor, I'm going to be listening to you. Yep. And I'm going to be pouring into you because I know what it felt like to be anxious, to cry myself to sleep, to... My biggest paranoia was in a corporate environment. We had to go around and we had to introduce ourselves because I have to say my name. I have to say what my role is. There's nowhere to hide. Like panic attack in that moment. I have time. I would like run out and I got to go to the restroom and or make up some gimmick to like work around it. So guys, I've dealt through.
Sure.
There was times where I couldn't answer the phone. Times I couldn't order food through a drive-through. Times where I was on a WebEx. It was my turn to talk. Slammed the thing shut, text manager, I lost service. I had a panic attack.
Wow. This is powerful.
Yeah. So if you just commit to yourself and give yourself self-compassion, I call it RSA, radical self-acceptance.
Jeez.
Love yourself first. It's so hard.
So powerful. It's so hard.
Like compassion, grace. You're not your past. You're not your past. Mm-mm. You can rewrite that. Your life, your pen. Mm. You can rewrite your future. So but do the work. Prehab weight room mental weight room, you know, self-talk. Have a self-talk plan. Set some goals. MITs, most important tasks. They've identified key behaviors. Behaviors precede success. Be around people that lift you
so
up.
Awesome.
That love you, you know. Okay, so the quote is from Joseph Campbell.
I love that you cite your sources. Yeah. This is one of the greatest values you have is you're going to tell me who said this. Yeah. That is great leadership.
Yeah. Well, it's like, who do you think? You have all the answers?
No, but a lot of people go, I heard it said, but you're like, no, his name was Joseph.
Joseph Campbell, philosopher, you know, he had a great quote that just stopped me in my tracks when I saw it. I was like, yes, that is true. I'm living this right now. Mm. He says, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek.
Gosh, that is so profound.
It is. It's a great metaphor.
Yes.
So the cave you fear to enter. So God put the best things in life on the other side of fear. I learned that from Will Smith. God put the best things in life. He's not my friend, but I've watched the video.
On the other side.
On the other side of fear.
Right.
So if you do what you fear the most, there's nothing you cannot do. And let's wrap it up, MVPs. The S is slogan. Have a mantra. Have a motto. When Nike came out with Just Do It in 88, they're worth 900 million. In 3 or 4 years, they're worth 9 billion because they embodied a movement.
Jeez.
A philosophy.
Jeez.
Can you summarize your MVPs in 3 words, in 5 words?
Wow.
So my life motto after every podcast, every coaching call, every Zoom session, every live training, the body has limits, but the mind is limitless.
That's your Just Do It.
That's my Just Do It. And that's a little longer than 3 words, 5 words, but
I love
just
that.
Figure it out and live by it. So like the flesh is limited.
Oh, but the flesh, spirit.
The spirit's limitless. Mm. So if you can connect your spirit with your mind, like unstoppable, you bring in faith, you bring in the word,
that's
you
it.
Bring in, yeah. So that would be my challenge for the leaners. Mm. If I ever come see you and you really are taking this to heart, do you go to the weight room and just like look at the weight? Do you go to the basketball gym and just look at the hoop? Or do you get your reps in?
Yeah.
Let's get our reps in.
MVPs.
Let's do our MVPs.
Wow.
This is going to help you. It's going to transform your marriage. Mm. It's going to transform your business.
Really
it's
is.
It's going to transform your friendships. Mm. Clarity is power. So we teach our kids, do you think I just keep this to myself? Mm. No, we have a slogan in our house. Henderson's help.
Wow.
So I asked them one question at the end of the day, who'd you help? Mm. You know, so like bring this stuff, and we talk about being a G in our house, gratitude, give, and grow. So don't just write them down.
I love that.
Live it.
Systems,
processes. We have a daily ritual when we eat food. We call it happy breakfast, lunch, dinner, and every kid says one thing that makes them happy. We 1, 2, 3, happy.
Wow.
So we're repping these things.
That this stuff, especially when it comes to kids, because you think about the process of growing up without these tools and handles is what puts you in a place where you got to cut off the laptop because you got to tell the excuse your Wi-Fi went out because we haven't been trained on how to handle the pressures of life. These are normal pressures.
Everyone feels
you
them.
Cannot avoid pressure. You can't avoid loss. You can't avoid conflict. You can't avoid a failure. You just, these are unavoidable. But if we don't have the tools,
toolkit,
to have the junk right drawer, mindset,
junk drawer, which yeah. is our brain.
Oh gosh, I love that one.
A toolkit.
That's
right?
it. I think one of the gifts you can give to the leaners, and one of the gifts you're giving to the world, is the kids curriculum stuff that you're working on, and this new kids book that you're putting out this next month. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to apply these things with my kids. Mm-hmm. My kids can finish all of my sentences. Hey, hold on. It's not what we say, it's how we say it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, hold on. Beach Boys are what? Kind, respectful, genuine, compassionate. You know, like they can finish all my sayings. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're nicest to our family. You know, they know all, but you're giving me language to the mindset. I'm more up into this point. I had been training behavior and belief and wanting to give great identity, but I like what you're hitting on because I think we do need to master our mindset. So, bro, thank you for coming on.
So fun.
Everybody, listen, you need to go follow and pick up all of the books from Colin. Thank you so much for coming by. You are the man. And now we need to go play golf at Sherwood at some point in the future. We're manifesting it. Like I start manifesting stuff.
Manifest it.
Manifest
TBT,
it.
Thoughts become things.
Dude, I'm putting it out there. We love you, leaners. Keep leaning in. You're doing better than you think you are. Subscribe right there on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, comment, and it would mean the world if you would share it. Share it to somebody, pass it along, let somebody know this really helped me out. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.